Scripture for today's message comes to us from the 24th chapter of Luke. I invite you to have your pew Bibles open to chapter 24 of Luke, verses 1 through 12, and read along as I read aloud. May you hear the word that God has for you this day. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I suppose after the Christmas story, what we just heard is some of the most familiar scripture. Writing under arrest in Rome, Paul tells the faithful in Philippi, "It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you." The believers, it seems, had asked Paul to tell them again what he's already told them. "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life." I suppose it might be possible to grow tired of the one you love hearing that person say to you, "I love you." Most of the time, we never grow tired of hearing those sacred words. I suspect, parents and grandparents, that you've had the experience of reading a book to your little one, only for the little one to ask you right afterward to read the same book again. Some things are worth repeating. We may remember the old hymn, "I love to tell the story." By all means, especially in this season of the year, let's each be telling others the story. Shouldn't there also be a hymn that sings, "I love to hear the story again"? Wonderful words of life, get them by heart. Now, there were those who had just recently come to Jesus, had only started walking with him when all the events in Jerusalem unfolded. I suppose a few of the new companions, seeing what was happening, kind of drifted away, never to return. That makes me sad. I also have to believe, though, because I know the Spirit just as you know the Spirit, I say I also have to believe that among those newest companions, there were also those who did not waver in their commitment to Jesus, even at the cross, even at the tomb. And when I say commitment to Jesus, I don't mean allegiance to the moral lessons Jesus taught. I mean devotion, no matter what, to faith in God and God's promise of new life, salvation life. Devotion to God, even when that led to death on a cross. There are many things worth living for. There's also that worth dying for. There were the newcomers. God bless the newcomers. There were also those who'd been with Jesus through it all. We know about the apostles. Luke also wants to remind us about the women who came with Jesus from Galilee. Now, we don't often hear about them. They weren't there to call attention to themselves. It isn't the apostles who go to the tomb so early in the morning that it's barely light out. It was the women. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James. Love looks like something. The apostles were more than a little concerned, afraid that they might be next. But the women aren't afraid. I mean, they are afraid. It's not much fun going into the presence of a dead body, especially when it's the body of your dearest friend, your beloved friend. It's not exactly a morale builder to go to the grave in the dark. But love overcomes fear, as Jesus had been assuring them all along. So they were trying to be brave, remembering together their love for Jesus. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. That didn't do much to help their bravery, though it was a good thing that the stone had been rolled away, because how are they going to get in otherwise? Have you ever tried to lift a headstone, a gravestone? How many men do you think it would take? Now increase the size and the weight of the stone by a factor of about 10. That was what those women had to contend with. They hadn't thought about that. They were afraid, and they knew they had to be brave. Maybe at that point it wasn't so much love as it was curiosity pushing them on, pulling them in. Something has happened. What has happened? Now, there are those who have the impression that religion means you can't ask any questions or entertain any doubts. Accept everything without question. That's called belief. I think that's mistaken. Faith doesn't forbid questions. Faith invites questions. Faith is not afraid of questions. Faith also understands that not all questions can be answered just now, not to the full satisfaction of the one asking. The truths of faith take time to develop, to unfold. A seed is planted. It doesn't look like much, doesn't look so very promising, doesn't grab our interest or hold our attention. It's just a seed. Have you ever planted a seed, given it light, good soil, water? In other words, had some concern for the seed, invested your time, effort, and labor in the seed? Something happens. You didn't make it happen. Perhaps you had a hand in helping it happen. The seed opens. What was closed, hard, opens and changes. The seed sprouts. The sprout also needs light, air, good soil, and water. What had seemed so unpromising, so unlikely, begins to fulfill its promise, fulfill its purpose. Well, the tomb was already open. They didn't know how or who. The women entered the tomb. Would you? Could you have done it? They came to go in. That was the plan. But just because a plan has been made doesn't mean it gets carried out. What was it John Lennon said about life is what happens while you're making plans? It's helpful to go with someone, go as a group. We're braver when we have others with us. And this, I think, God is telling us and teaching us about the blessedness and value of the congregation, people. The congregation, beloved. We're here for one another and for whoever comes in. Now let's take that same mentality out with us. We're here for one another and for whoever. Whoever wants to come in. The women enter and they are shocked, shaken. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So that's a problem. Something has happened. Don't overlook or underestimate the doubt the gospel accounts are addressing just here. There are people who think all these stories about Jesus are just lies, laughable fictions for weak-minded fools, for women and children. The women went to the tomb. It had been sealed with a large, heavy stone. The stone was rolled away. Who rolled it away? Why roll away the stone sealing the tomb? Have you ever smelled a body that's been dead several days? Think you want to then grab hold of the corpse and manhandle it out? The body was gone. They saw that, knew that. They also jumped to what seems the most logical conclusion. Somebody's taken the body. But who? Why? Where? Who would benefit? How had it profited the apostles to follow Jesus those 3 years? It hadn't made them rich, quite the opposite. It hadn't made them powerful or prestigious in the world's eyes. Notorious, perhaps. Had it gotten them wine, women, and song? Is that what they joined Jesus to get? Did any of them actually think that stealing the body and stashing it where would now bring them the long overdue payoff? It doesn't make any sense. It's really reaching to explain away what otherwise can only be an act of God. Luke tells us the women were wondering, you think? That doesn't mean they were swept up in adoration as if they knew a miracle when they saw one. No, they're stumped, worried, afraid, stunned, and don't know what to do. They're stuck. Things have just gone from terribly bad to incomprehensibly worse. While they're wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Now, Luke doesn't call them angels. He doesn't have to. The clothes bright as lightning tell us because this is just how Jesus appeared with Moses and Elijah at the transfiguration, the revelation of the heavenly, the divine splendor of Christ. And that is wonderful indeed, but it doesn't exactly help to calm the women or soothe their fear. It's not joy or relief that the women are feeling. Even if it's holy terror, it's still terror. Even if it's good news, it's more than they can process at the moment. God's word is being fulfilled. Whatever was left of the foundation that the women had been standing on is being demolished. What was that foundation? Dead is dead. Jesus is dead. Jesus is in the tomb. So let's love one another and be nice and gentle and kind and patient with one another. Because you see how that follows, of course. Yeah, there's the logic there. He's dead in the tomb, so let's be nice to each other. Beloved, even we who know, who ought to know, that Christ is alive, raised, and getting all things ready for his return, even we, despite all that knowledge, can have a hard time being nice and kind and gentle and patient with one another, let alone with all the also irritating people out there. In Christ risen, God is providing us all with a new foundation, a sure foundation, a true foundation for life here and hereafter. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. What can they do but drop down as the dead and wait? What can they do but lie prostrate, submitted to power beyond them, and wait for what's next? The men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? You know you're in the wrong place, right? If you're looking for the dead, oh, you'll find them all right. The dead aren't hard to find. But the tomb isn't the place for the one who lives. To see him, we've got to leave the tomb behind." In the ancient world, the grave was it. Maybe in our world, too, for too many people. Now, yes, there were a few heroes, the great and mighty ones, the noble and best, who had a reward and a happy afterlife by their valor, their courage, their prowess and power. As for the rest, it was just an unending living death among the shades and shadows of the underworld. Nothing to hope for, nothing to do, no one to love, forever. Even much of what we can read in the Old Testament seems to have had a difficult time accepting any real alternative. That notion that death is it is just that strong. Yet, for those who read God's Word with great care, attention, hope, faith, and love, there was also always already another message there, life, and one who would bring life, bring others to life. God is a God of salvation, not a God of, well, you're dead now, so sorry, can't do anything about it. The bright messengers in the dark tomb tell the women, he's not here, he's risen. Get out of the dark tomb. We have a knack for circling back to the tomb. The tomb's like the end of the line where the trail trails off. No way beyond it. Nothing worth talking about after. The messengers from God are saying such thinking is quite wrong, entirely mistaken, simply not an accurate, truthful account of reality. The women were still holding on to the tattered remains of a lie. Dead is dead. Jesus is dead. Jesus is in the tomb. Time to let go. Rise and go. We let go when we remember. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Oh, they had witnessed the being delivered over and the crucifixion. Now they are being asked to become witnesses to something more, something beautiful, holy, and true. Christ is risen. They knew, they saw that his body was not there. That in itself does not require anyone to conclude that Christ arose. Even what the angels say does not strictly by itself require anyone to conclude that Christ is risen. But the angels aren't asking the women to believe on account of what they say. Believe because this is what Jesus long before already told you. Pain, grief, and loss weren't the end, the sum of the story. The tomb is not where everything comes to a stop forever. Remember, he told you. He promised. And those terrified, wondering women did remember. Yes, he had said that. We'd forgotten. We'd been so overwhelmed, stretched so thin by the stress and the sorrow, so worn out by the hurt that we'd forgotten. We let ourselves forget what Jesus told us to remember. Though the fear wasn't completely gone, it was changing. Now there is also a dawning sense of excitement, hope, belief, and urgent rising conviction that they needed to let others know. They tell the apostles and those gathered, locked away in their gloom and confusion. And if you remember the story well enough, or even if you don't recall it too clearly, you can pretty well guess what response the women got when they told the apostles. The apostles did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So many, too many, still think so. Nice try, nice story, but seriously. Even though he didn't believe yet, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. So the body was not there. But the cloth used to wrap the dead body were. Someone went to the lengthy, nauseating trouble of unwinding the strips of linen from the dead body in order to carry the torn, bloody, heavy, decaying corpse in the depths of the night. Crazy. Who? Why? Well, if we'll believe what we're being told right here, it wasn't Peter or any of the apostles. And if it wasn't them, whose interests were being served by spiriting away the body? As for Peter, he went away wondering to himself, what had happened? Jesus told them what would happen. Peter knew Jesus was trustworthy. The women had said it had happened. Peter knew the women had always been trustworthy. Jesus showed Peter and the rest in Scripture where God said it would happen and how it would happen. Oh, it's a lot to take in, a lot to wrestle with. This world, this life seems composed of so many hard, sharp facts and so much saccharine, gelatinous wishing. Thank God for those who believe what Scripture tells us, the Spirit dwells with them. Thank God also for those who wonder. The Spirit is knocking on the door of their hearts. Pray for them and with them. Witness, testify, invite, bless.